Hi, welcome to the Audio Engineering Podcast. This is number 9, and today we're going to be talking about high-pass and low-pass filtering with me, Streaky, and...
me, Shay.
So I'll kick off with how I use filters for what I do in mastering.
Yep.
I have loads of different... There seems to be a filter on every single bit of kit that I buy.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of the easiest things to do. Or program, but obviously there's tons of different varieties and slopes and things and rough sounds that you can get,
mm-hmm.
and which is great because I can basically then get a different sound depending on what I want, how hard I want to cut something, or you know how soft. Because basically, for me, I'm more likely to cut very high frequencies, mm-hmm. around 30K,
okay.
and above. The reason I do that, and also 76K on the backs that I use on the way in, because there's some voodoo, and it does have a difference. But what that does is it makes your A to D converter work better, because it's not working on the higher frequencies that you can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's working just on the frequencies you can hear.
Yeah.
So, because obviously I've got bat ears, I can hear anything down from 30K.
Yeah.
But when you start going sort of lower than 25K, then you can start hearing it sort of shut the tops down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to cutting vinyl, I can use them down to about 16K,
yep.
because you really want to get rid of a lot of that high-end tiz. And I think that is some of the beauty of vinyl, why old vinyl does sound quite nice, because they have used filters at the top and the bottom,
mm-hmm.
to get a more controlled sound on the mids. And then so the lathe isn't working on the high stuff, and it makes it a real, you know, a sort of the low mid sound, and that kind of really warm sound that you get from vinyl. I think that has a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a lot more to do with the analog circuitry, but that the way that you cut to vinyl in that sound by doing low cuts and high cuts is quite important. And then taking that into what was CD mastering and now audiophile mastering, it really does work. That principle still is there for mastering. If you put a 20K shelf on, then it kind of keeps the tops under control a little bit more and keeps it less, obviously less bright, but just less harsh.
Yeah,
because you're taking
harsh.
Away a bit of the harshness, because the filter's really starting at about, I don't know, it depends obviously on the filter and the slope, but usually around 14K or something. So there's plenty going on around that area. So when it's starting to smooth that off, that's where the low pass filter is working well. But and going on to the high pass, I use that mainly to tighten up low end.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's waffle, I mean, I think that people use it a lot less than they used to. When I first started mastering in the 90s, everybody used to cut at 40 hertz.
Oh, too low.
But that was standard procedure. As soon as it came on, 40 hertz, bang, you know, and 16K on the top. But I think that is, going back to what I'm saying about vinyl,
yeah.
I think that's what that is all about.
And
it's all about
those times,
they were used to cutting at 40,
yeah.
and that was it. And they didn't have as much sub bass either.
And it was going to cassette tape. Probably the master would have been a lot of cassette tape wise. So it's it's the medium, mainly to do with the medium that it was going to go on as master.
I don't think also that people were listening to sub or didn't have the means to listen to sub as much as they do now.
Yeah.
And so people weren't putting as much sub into music.
The music wasn't
even reggae or something that's more of a bass driven thing, or disco.
Mm.
It's not really bass driven, it's more kind of bass guitar driven.
Mm.
It's not low sub driven stuff.
Yeah.
That only came through with dance music, really,
mm.
and when people started really taking a lot of ecstasy and needing to feel the bass more.
Yeah.
So really, I can't cut any... If you cut at 20, it's quite nice for a bit of shape. If I go any higher than 30 on dance music, then it's probably taking too much away from the kick.
Yeah.
But that goes on to how much you're actually pushing the low end with some EQ at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, when you're mixing,
yeah.
is it really important to do those cuts at that stage? I mean, I tend to tell mix engineers to... if they're worried, leave it on, and then at least I've got, you know, in a low end sense,
yeah.
of filters, leave it on, because leave it off if they're having trouble, because then I can do it.
Yeah.
But I But you know, I really do think that when you're giving something as a mix to a mastering engineer, it should be the best you can make it sound.
I mean,
so
yeah, coming from a mixing point of view, if you don't do those low cuts sort of on the mix bus, like on the as an EQ as like the first insert or something on your mix bus, if you've got compression after it and you haven't done those cuts, your compressor's still going to see those really low frequencies, and those low frequencies are going to react, make that compressor react. So if they're not if they're not there, like I'm at the moment, basically any mix that I ever do at the minute, at about 25 hertz I'm cutting, just to be on the safe side. And it's not just on the mix bus, that's pretty much anything. Like even on low subs, I'll like put a low pass filter in, so it's like cutting everything that's above sort of 100, but then I'm still cutting at the very, very low end. Even though it's my sub, I'll still be cutting at around 25 hertz. And that is just to be on the safe side. So I know it's more as like a utility thing. One, it makes everything sound tighter. But two, I know that when I get to the mix bus stage, if I get to compression stage, I'm not going to be compressing frequencies that I don't need, or frequencies that are inaudible and just going to get in the way and make my compressor react differently.
I can definitely hear on mixes, though, when there's stuff going on at 20 hertz, especially if you're doing, say, a drum and bass tune, where the subs are super important, or a hip-hop track. It's, you know, I can hear if I cut at 20 sometimes, it's too much and I'm better leaving it.
Really?
Because, because the end, a lot of the guys that are mixing those kind of tracks have really got their bass nailed. So by me cutting into it, it kind of takes away some of the vibe of the track, because it's losing, because a lot of it is that low sub, the feel of it is that low sub.
Yeah.
But I think that's more down to cutting it in a mix that's on certain instruments so that it's not waffly, and you've just got, if you are using the sub, then the sub is there for a reason, and it's only the sub doing the work down there. It's not just loads of other waffles. So like you say, if you had kick drums and stuff, you might cut those lower to let a sub do its work.
I mean, even with high cuts, like I've been recently in some tracks just to get that sort of older sound, especially when you've got like quite high vocal, female vocal led tracks. I've been doing high cuts at like 19, 18K, like cutting off everything. And it still, it doesn't cut it off completely so there's no high end. It just cuts it off so it's not blistering. Like, and you still got some of that air because like 14, 16K is still there, but it's not, you're not getting like a 20K air, which in some cases is nice, but in other cases, especially like drum and bass and stuff like that, it's just too much when you've got loads of hats, breathy vocal, like doing those little cuts, it makes the whole track sound so much tighter.
But also, if you start pushing in, I find if you start pushing into limiters, then that's making things brighter and harsher.
Big time.
So by putting a cut on the top, it does take a little bit of that edge off of it and smooths it out a little bit, depending on the filter and depending on, you know, the slope of that filter. But, I mean, you know, a lot of my filters are kind of set. So I'll have like a Masselec one, or I'll have the Dangerous one, or I'll have, you know, some Sontek ones. I've also got some in the Vite. Like I said, I've got some in all sorts of things.
Oh, nice.
But they're all different sounds with different things. So you can try them out. And I tend to find with sort of rock music and stuff, and more acoustic-led stuff that isn't as bass-driven, you know, it's kind of more guitar-y, then you can still get away with a 40 hertz cut, because as long as you're adding around 60 or 80 to the kick, you're still getting the whack of the kick.
You're still getting but
you're getting a really tight kick.
Yeah.
And then you can then also compress that. So what you're doing is really squeezing it, the low end, to get a really good smack, you know, and that can work really well.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where old mastering engineers used to cut at 40 for that sort of smack, and to also give, because it really changes the sound of the vocal when you add a cut at 40 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mids just sound so different when you're going into compressors after a 40 hertz cut, which sounds lethal, but it does have a certain sound to it. It has a very sort of 70s sound. It's quite interesting.
It takes a while to get your head around the fact that taking out a frequency as low as 30 hertz can alter what 600's doing. It takes a while to sort of get your head around it. But once you do, it's like filters are tightness. Like the tighter the filter, the tighter the slope, is the tighter the sound. Like, I mean, even in like mid-side like scenarios, mid-side wise, I find filtering, that's the kind of the only thing that I really do in mid-side, is filtering.
Right.
Sort of like sides, bass out a little bit, a lot more than I would the mids, for instance. But like in the top end, it's just shelving and filtering. But
that goes back to the old trick that I use with if I haven't got an elliptical filter in the studio, then trimming, putting a high cut in this, in the difference or the stereo side to mono the bass up a bit. But it also, that's quite nice because then you don't, with a lot of elliptical filters where it's going totally in mono, you can actually then have a little bit of spread, which on, especially on acoustic instruments, when it's a band situation, you don't necessarily want to mono the bass because it loses loads of the sort of fatness.
Yeah, it's not just that, not just acoustic music. I mean, in most electronic dance music nowadays, where you've got like drum and bass, for instance, house music, where you've got, okay, the sub's dead in the middle, but then you've got sort of low mid basses, Reese type basses that do have effects on them and choruses that need to have some sort of side information. So using like a low cut filter on the sides gets rid of just the bass information or the low sub part of that. So that stays central, but then you still have your higher mid bass.
Still sounds like a wider low end rather than just sounding too tight and mono.
Yeah. And then overall, it just sounds like a tighter, cleaner, more open sound, which then if you go to compression afterwards, you're compressing a tighter, cleaner, more open sound than something that's just overwhelmed with stuff that doesn't need to be there. And like, filters just get rid of unwanted rubbish, like unwanted waffle and fluff, and especially like hiss and just tizzy.
I think there must be a sort of warning attached to this, though, a parental warning, that bringing the filters in sometimes can absolutely ruin a track. You can hear it sounding great in your head for a while, and you'll think, this is good. And then you'll flick back to A/B against a reference track
and you've
basically stripped the whole top end off.
Yeah.
Or, you've taken the whole low end off. It sounded really good because you were getting vibey into it and you were going with it.
I mean, it's like you
need to A/B it a lot to get used to the sound and know that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that with anything, though. It's, if you can overdo anything, and you probably have to overdo it first and then rein yourself back to know where the good point is. You do need to sort of have to do that. But I mean, filtering wise, in stereo, mid-side, even mono, from recording, like not like 101 recording, day one, low pass, high pass in recording. Get rid of anything that's lower than sort of 80 hertz, for instance. Most microphones nowadays have a cut in, like a low cut, just to make sure that you're not picking up any of that unwanted stuff in your source material, because you're only going to have to get rid of it later on. So filters are massive, massive in music, I think, in the production of music. One of the most important things, much more important than I'd say compression is, just because it's frequency dependent. Like, you are making it sound as good as it can possibly be by filtering out the stuff that's not needed, rather than adding in extra stuff to make that stand out from the areas that are overwhelming it.
I think coming back to vinyl, they're really important from that standpoint, because without the filters, you really wouldn't be able to cut a lot of stuff. Because I think when people haven't had that experience of knowing vinyl, they might leave things just go in mastering, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They'll let things just roll where it's like super high stuff for no reason at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is benefit to adding up the top there, because you'll get some nice air, but it depends whether the track needs it.
Exactly.
But I think a lot of mastering engineers who haven't cut vinyl won't have had the same experience on when to use a shelf and when not to, and the benefits of getting it, so they won't necessarily tend to do it, and then what happens is the whole track just sounds a little bit too loose.
Yeah, it's like, that's another thing, it's one thing to know how to do it, but it's to know when to do it. And like it's, everyone knows that maybe a 20 hertz cut is going to tighten the bass, but if the track doesn't need 20 hertz, don't put it in. It's not like an essential thing that has to happen. It's knowing when to do it, and like, you can know how to do it, just put the cut in, it's fine, as long as you know how to use your equipment or your plug-in. But does it need it? Does what you're doing, that does it definitely need it?
I would always tend to say no.
Yeah, only if you have to.
All right, well, I think we've kind of covered high, low pass filtering.
Our love for filters.
Thanks for listening. If you want a Friday letter on a Friday, funnily enough, into your inbox, then go to streaky.com, sign up for the email. There's another 25,000 audio engineers in there receiving the mail every week.
Nice.
So get your name in there if you haven't already. And go to YouTube to see shortened versions of this kind of stuff on the channel with Shay and I talking similar sort of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for listening, should I say.
Listening, yeah.
Till next time. Bye.
Bye.